1. What's in your wallet? And the listeners who support this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Health Foundation, helping organizations and individuals confront complex issues to make progress on health rankings in Kansas. Learn more at kansashealth.org.
The flood warning for the Wakarusa River near Lawrence has been canceled. It is 82 degrees in Lawrence and 88 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
Thank you for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, and many other frequencies all around the state. Listen internationally when you stream us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, featuring fresh prepared foods and drinks and made-from-scratch pastries. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in KCK.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. We will find out from Bobby Allen about why the Supreme Court returned challenges to laws in Florida and Texas restricting the power of social media companies to moderate content back to the lower courts. We'll have an overview of the first round of France's elections and talk about sterilization trends. New research indicates an uptick in requests for sterilization following the Dobbs decision on abortion. All of that coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Mammoth, presenting contemporary swing revival band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, October 3rd at Liberty Hall. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy at Liberty Hall, October 3rd.
Following All Things Considered tonight at 7 o'clock on your KPR One stations, Destiny has classical music for you for 2 hours, soulful music tonight, and a couple of treats from Leroy Anderson. That's from 7 to 9 p.m. At 9 o'clock, it's the Jazz Scene with David Bassey. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned for On the Media at 7 o'clock, followed by news from the BBC World Service. It's 83 degrees in Lawrence, 91 at Fort Riley. The time is 6:20.
How much immunity did the Supreme Court really give the president? That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library summer events, including Blockbuster Wednesdays in June and July with kid-friendly performances, including a magician, science, and more. Three different performance times every Wednesday. Details at tscpl.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are up next. The flood warning for Mill Creek near Paxico has been allowed to expire as well. The time is 6:30.
Also was convicted and sentenced to 4 months on the same charges. Navarro is scheduled to be released later this month. Bannon, meanwhile, is just beginning his own 4 month stint behind bars. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas doctors are challenging a new law requiring them to ask patients why they're getting an abortion. As Rose Conlon reports, they say the Kansas Health Department is not enforcing the law for now.
Anti-abortion groups support the new law, but doctors say asking patients why they're ending their pregnancies and reporting their answers to state officials for public release is invasive and unconstitutional. Women can technically refuse to answer the question, but lawmakers decided against informing them of their right to refuse. A Johnson County judge said doctors can add their legal challenge to the new law to an ongoing lawsuit against a handful of older abortion restrictions. Lawyers for the state sought to block that from happening. Two other new laws now in effect increase funding for anti-abortion groups and make it a felony to coerce someone to get an abortion. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rose Conlin in Wichita.
Liberty Hospital in Missouri officially joined the University of Kansas health system today, despite political backlash on both sides of the state line. Hospital administrators told lawmakers they needed to merge or risk being bought up by a for-profit chain. KU Health System President Bob Page says this route allows Liberty to continue serving future generations.
It is incredibly difficult in healthcare today to remain a completely independent hospital. By becoming part of this health system, they will be able to offer some of the most advanced treatments and expertise anywhere in the country.
KU Health reports about 35% of their patients currently come from Missouri. Researchers at the University of Kansas Medical Center are working to find solutions for food insecurity. They have partnered with health centers in areas in Kansas defined as food deserts, where people have little or no access to healthy food. Their focus includes parts of western and southeast Kansas, Lawrence, Topeka, and Wichita. Christina Bridges, one of the researchers, says the project provides access to healthy food to people facing food insecurity who also have diet-related health issues, such as type 2 diabetes.
Food insecurity, it's known to be linked to costly and preventable chronic conditions, including obesity, diabetes, heart disease, poor mental health, and a number of others.
Bridges says about one in six Kansans live in food deserts. You're listening to KPR, and the time is 6:35.
Support for NPR.
President Biden issued an executive order 3 years ago to make it easier to register eligible voters. Now, as the presidential election draws near, some Republican lawmakers are attacking that order, claiming without evidence that Biden is overstepping his authority. We'll hear from those Republicans and voting rights experts tomorrow on All Things Considered. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Faldin from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
Proud to be your NPR station throughout the region from the University of Kansas. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Tom Harper with Stevens Real Estate, specializing in helping people buy and sell unique and older homes in Lawrence. More information at tom-harper.com or on Instagram at Lawrence Modern.
Stay tuned. Another 11 minutes of All Things Considered still to come. Then at 7 o'clock, if you're joining us on KPR One stations, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny, all followed by the jazz scene with David Bassey. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned for On the Media at 7 o'clock.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We have heat advisory in effect until 8 o'clock tonight for Clay, Cloud, Dickinson, and Ottawa counties. A heat advisory going into effect at noon tomorrow, running through 8 o'clock tomorrow night for most of the rest of the Kansas Public Radio listening area. It's 83 degrees in Lawrence, 95 in Emporia, 94 in Chanute. It is 10 minutes before 7.
Highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression. From the Pew Charitable Trusts, telling stories behind data and trends that shape our world today through its podcast, After the Fact. Learn more at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. And from ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.
NPR is here for the lifelong learners, the investigators, the curious. It's here for you. Keep listening and growing with NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Bishop Seabury Academy in Lawrence, a college preparatory school offering a culture of academic excellence, service, leadership, and character development for students grades 6 through 12. More information at seabaryacademy.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then two hours of classical music with Destiny. Then it's the jazz scene with David Bassey.
Support for KPR comes from Merchants Pub and Plate in downtown Lawrence, serving familiar dishes through a seasonal local lens, and a bar with 30 craft beers, wine, and handcrafted cocktails. More at merchantsonmass.com.
The BBC is one of the world's most trusted news providers, and you can hear news from the BBC every day on KPR, too. For continuous quality news coverage and intelligent talk, tune in KPR, too, on an HD receiver, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, or stream it online at kansaspublicradio.org. Lows in the mid-70s tonight, a 70% chance of showers and storms tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be hot tomorrow. Highs in the upper 90s with heat advisories going into effect tomorrow. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that former presidents have broad immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts, extending the timeline for the Washington, D.C. criminal trial of former President Donald Trump for allegedly plotting to overturn his 2020 election loss, likely until after the November election. The justice is ordering the trial judge in that case to distinguish between official and unofficial acts. Paul Schiff Berman is a law professor at the George Washington University School of Law and says today's ruling was astonishing in one respect.
I think the framers really would have objected to the decision as it is drafted today. And I think it's pretty amazing that a group of justices who purport to pay attention to constitutional text and original meaning have written an opinion that really is not based on the constitutional text at all.
Speaking for the minority, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said the court's decision makes a mockery of the principle that no one is above the law. President Joe Biden is reacting tonight to today's high court decision. Biden, in brief remarks moments ago, saying, quote, there are no kings in America and no one is above the law. And he said today's decision by the court sets a dangerous precedent. As for how this might affect former President Trump's pending court case, Biden said it could mean no resolution as to whether Trump sought to overturn the 2020 election ahead of the November election.
The American people deserve to have an answer in the courts before the upcoming election. The public has a right to know the answer about what happened on January 6th before they are asked to vote again this year. Now, because of today's decision, that is highly, highly unlikely.
Biden said despite the court ruling, he will act within the limits of the office. He said that would likely not be the case under a Trump presidency. In France, the far right is leading going into a second and final round of legislative elections. As NPR's Eleanor Beardsley explains, it's turning out to be one of the most contentious elections in recent history.
La démocratie a parlé.
Marine Le Pen crowed as the results came in Sunday night, saying the French had clearly chosen to turn the page on what she called 7 years of corrosive and contemptuous power under President Macron. Macron lost his gamble to get a mandate for his last 3 years in power after his party came in third place with the leftist coalition in second. Both are now calling on voters to block the far right from getting a majority next Sunday to keep it from enacting what they call a divisive and dangerous agenda. Le Pen's party says it will put France first by stopping immigration and restoring order, all while fixing the French economy. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Stocks close modestly higher today as the third quarter gets underway. The Dow is up 50 points. The Nasdaq rose 146 points. Standard & Poor's 500 gained 14 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR and the Tiny Desk Contest comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. Capital One is proud to support NPR Music and the Tiny Desk Contest. Capital One, what's in your wallet? This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 1st. Mars and Jupiter are siblings.
They were born at the same time from the same cloud of material that encircled the embryonic sun. Yet there's absolutely no family resemblance. They could hardly be more different. Both planets appear near the moon at dawn tomorrow. Mars looks like a bright orange star to the upper right of the moon. Jupiter is even brighter and crouches below the moon, low above the horizon. Mars is small, about half the diameter of Earth. It's made of rock and metal. Jupiter, on the other hand, is the largest planet in the solar system, a giant ball of gas that's 20 times wider than Mars and about 3,000 times as massive. In fact, Jupiter is more massive than all the other planets and moons in the solar system combined. Mars and Jupiter are the fourth and fifth planets out from the Sun, so you might expect them to be more alike. But Jupiter might have formed farther from the Sun than it is now. At that distance, conditions would have been quite cold. There would have been a lot of ice and gas for Jupiter to sweep up, allowing it to grow bigger and bigger. Mars was born closer to the Sun. Solar heat and radiation cleared out most of the ice and gas in its region. That left mainly bits of rock and metal, the stuff that came together to form the planet Mars, a world quite different from its giant sibling. We'll have more about the Moon and Jupiter tomorrow. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Monday, KPR friends. This is Destiny. That was Leroy Anderson's Syncopated Clock with Maurice Abravanel and the Utah Symphony Orchestra. It's July, and it's the first Monday of July, so I like to take the opportunity to play what I have dubbed my theme song. I love the Syncopated Clock. It's one of my favorites. I even have a cat video somewhere out there on the internet. With my kitty and me and this music. I am Destiny, your evening classical host, and I am glad you are ushering in July with me this evening. I've got some neat tunes for us tonight at around 7:34. Something about a very lonely heart that has to do with Sergeant Pepper. Yeah, it's really not what you think, I promise. So you're going to have to keep listening to figure out what the heck I'm talking about. Right now, and speaking of lonely hearts, that poor Beethoven, I think he had somewhat of a lonely heart. Music was his true love, and, well, we are going to listen to one of his most passionate piano sonatas. Why, it's the Appassionata! Ha-ha! I guess it needs no introduction. Let's enjoy it together right now on KPR. It's with Maurizio Pollini, Piano Sonata No. 23, the Appassionata by Beethoven.
Thank you.
Appassionata, Piano Sonata No. 23 by Beethoven, here on KPR. That recording featured Maurizio Pollini. That Beethoven. He's great. You're great, too. And because you're great, I have something else by Leroy Anderson at the end of the hour. I do. It's coming up in about 5 minutes. It's really, really fun. I've never played it before, so I'm looking forward to that treat. You know what else is great? Our supporters like the Green Lady Lounge. They feature Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Info is at greenladylounge.com and Pines Garden and Market, featuring a wide selection of perennials, trees, shrubs, growing supplies, and gardening advice since 1962. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. More information at pinesgardenmarket.com. And speaking of 1962, Pines Garden Market's been around for a while. Well, just 5 years after that, in 1967, on this day, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band goes number one in the United States and stays there for 15 weeks. So naturally, I had to search something about Lonely Hearts, and, well, I came up with Tchaikovsky's None But the Lonely Heart. Here's a tearjerker on KPR. What a tearjerker. Holy moly. Tchaikovsky's None But the Lonely Heart, arranged by Misha Elman. That recording featured Danielle Lozakovich and Stanislav Soloviev on piano. Wow. I need to find the music to that and learn that. That's great. Ooh, I liked that. Hey, you guys are great too. And this is where I kindly ask you and remind you that your donation is the power that keeps us independent, public-minded, and focused on you, That's how we provide culture, information, and intelligent entertainment. I like to think that my bad jokes are naturally very intelligent entertainment. KPR is everything you make it, and so much more. I know KPR matters to you, and your support matters to us. Please contribute now at kansaspublicradio.org, and thank you so much for your support. And because you are such wonderful supporters, I have a treat at the end of the hour. It's Leroy Anderson's Irish Suite. If you haven't heard it before, I hope you enjoy it. It's with Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops Orchestra right now on KPR.
Bravo, bravo. Leroy Anderson's The Irish Suite here on KPR with Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops Orchestra. You know, I forgot to mention, I think this is a live recording, obviously, because at the very beginning, well, aside from the obvious clapping, at the beginning, it sounded like it was raining. So I wonder if it was an outdoor concert in a tent. Perhaps those pop concerts are. A little fun fact for you this Monday evening. Thank you for being here with me. I have had a blast. Classics Live is up next, and I've got some more music picked out already for us tomorrow night. I can't wait to share it with you. See you soon on Kansas Public Radio.
When you listen to Morning Edition, we don't just want you to hear what's happening. We want you to feel like you're there, because what we experience, we can start to better understand.
And everybody that's in the circle, they do the same thing, and they go...
Join us for immersive reporting and storytelling weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City, and you can find out more information at greenladylounge.com. It's Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and in just a bit, we'll hear the Carnival of the Animals. We're here in White Concert Hall, Washburn University, for the 2023 Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Music Night. And here are the musicians and the conductor, Anthony Walker, on stage now here in Topeka for the first piece on tonight's program, a suite from Pelléas and Mélisande by Gabriel Fauré.
Thank you.
a suite made of tunes from Pelléas and Mélisande by Gabriel Fauré. You're listening to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we're in White Concert Hall at Washburn University in Topeka, enjoying a night at the Sunflower Music Festival, featuring the Chamber Orchestra, directed by Anthony Walker. Next, the conductor will do kind of an unusual thing. Usually a special narrator is brought in and rehearsals are made with the orchestra for reading Ogden Nash's verses to go along with Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals. Let's listen to it now, played by the Sunflower Music Festival, the music by Camille Saint-Saëns, and it's Anthony Walker telling us about the pieces.
Camille Saint-Saëns was racked with pains when people addressed him as Saint-Saëns. He held the human race to blame because it could not pronounce his name. So he turned with metronome and fife to glorify other kinds of life. Be quiet, please, for here begins his salute to feathers, furs, and fins. King of beasts and husband to the lioness, gazelles and things on which he feasts address him as Your Highness. There are those that admire that roar of his in the African jungles and velts, but I think that wherever the lion is, I'd rather be somewhere else. His battle cry is cock-a-doodle-um. Hands in pockets, cap over eye, he whistles at pullets passing by. Thank you. Have you ever harked to the jackass wild, which scientists call the onager? It's true, you can look it up. It sounds like the laugh of an idiot child or a headcat on a harmonica. But do not sneer at the jackass wild. There is method in his hee-haw, for with maidenly blush and accent mild, the jenny-ass answers, shee-haw. Come, crown my brow with leaves of myrtle. I know the tortoise is a turtle. Come, carve my name in stone immortal. I know the tortoise is a turtle. I know to my profound despair, I bet on one to beat a hare. I also know I'm now a pauper because of his tawdly, turdly, torpor. Elephants are useful friends, equipped with handles at both ends. They have a wrinkled moth-proof hide. Their teeth are upside down outside. If you think the elephant preposterous, you've probably never seen a rhinoceros. Thank you.
jump incredible. He has to jump because he's edible. I could not eat a kangaroo, could you? But many fine Australians do.
Oi! There's a lizard, mate.
You see? Those with cookbooks as well as boomerangs prefer him in tasty kangaroo meringues. Some fish are minnows. Some are whales. People like dimples. Fish like scales. Not that sort of scale. Some fish are slim and some are round. They don't get cold. They don't get drowned. But every fishwife fears for her fish. What... If that's my manager, I'll tell him I'll call him back later. I just gotta finish this. But every fishwife fears for her fish. What we call mermaids, they call merfish.
Thank you.
In the world of mules, there are no rules. Thank you for getting that. Husbands and as wives. Therefore, they cynically disparage everybody else's marriage. Puccini. Puccini was Latin, and Wagner Teutonic, and birds are incurably philharmonic. Suburban yards and rural vistas are filled with avian Andrews sisters. The skylark sings around the lay, the crow sings on the road to Mandalay. The nightingale sings a lullaby, and the seagull sings a gullaby. That's what shepherds listened to in Arcadia before somebody invented the radio. Some claim that pianists are human. And cite, for instance, Harry Truman. Saint-Saëns, upon the other hand, considered them a scurvy band. Bourgeois they are, he said, and a simian. Not like normal men and women. In the museum hall, the fossils gathered for a ball. There were no drums or saxophones, but just the clatter of their bones. A rolling, rattling, carefree circus of mammoth polkas and mazurkas, pterodactyls and brontosauruses sang ghostly prehistoric choruses. Amid the mastodonic wassail, I caught the eye of one small fossil. Cheer up, sad world, he said and winked. It's kind of fun to be extinct.
The The swan can swim while sitting down. For pure conceit, he takes the crown. He looks in the mirror over and over and claims to have never heard of Pavlova.
We've reached the grand finale, Animale Carnivale. Noises new to sea and land issue from this skillful band. All the strings contort their features, imitating crawly creatures. All the brasses would look like mumps from blowing umpa, umpa, umps. In outdoing Barnum and Bailey and Ringling, Saint-Saëns has done a miraculous fingling.
with special guest conductor Anthony Walker, doing double duty as the narrator and the conductor with the Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra. We've just heard Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns, with verses added later by Ogden Nash. This has been a Sunflower Music Festival recording that Kansas Public Radio has made from one of their Summer of 2023 concerts. The program for it is still online, and you can check sunflowermusicfestival.org to see when the upcoming season is starting. While you're online, check out Kansas Public Radio's Classics Live page and find out more about what we're doing to bring you the best in live and local performances. Chuck Smith was our field engineer, our broadcast engineer. I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. from the 2004 International Institute for Young Musicians held at KU. That was Grace Ma playing something from the Bach Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, a KPR recording on KPR. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from I2S at KU. I2S at KU is developing and researching new technologies, educating technology professionals, and providing service to the region and nation. More at i2s-research.ku.edu. You can find out more about the 2024 Sunflower Music Festival at sunflowermusicfestival.org. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio. That's KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg, Junction City, Abilene 91.3. And KANQ, Chanute.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In a hugely consequential and historic decision today, the U.S. Supreme Court granted former President Donald Trump substantial immunity from prosecution over charges he illegally sought to subvert Joe Biden's election victory in 2020. More from NPR's Nina Totenberg.
The court's 6-3 decision, along ideological lines, will almost certainly delay Trump's trial until after the November election, if it takes place at all. Writing for the conservative supermajority, Chief Justice John Roberts established a broad new immunity for former presidents, declaring that they may not be prosecuted for exercising their core constitutional powers. Even after leaving office, said Roberts, former presidents are entitled to at least the presumption of immunity from prosecution for actions they took as president. Of the 6 Republican-appointed justices, only Amy Coney Barrett would have put more limits on a former president's immunity for his actions while president. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
President Biden, meanwhile, is reacting to today's high court decision. In brief remarks, the president saying, quote, there are no kings in America and no one is above the law. And he said today's decision by the court sets a dangerous precedent. As for how this might affect former President Trump's pending court case, Biden said it could mean no resolution as to whether Trump sought to overturn the 2020 election ahead of the November election.
The American people deserve to have an answer in the courts before the upcoming election.
The public has a right to know the answer about what happened on January 6th before they asked to vote again this year. Now, because of today's decision, that is highly, highly unlikely.
Biden said despite the court ruling, he will act within the limits of the office. He said that would likely not be the case under a Trump presidency. Wyoming's ban on gender-affirming care went into effect today, restricting medical treatment like puberty blockers and hormone therapy for transgender youth. From Wyoming Public Radio, Hannah Mersbach reports.
Supporters of the ban say minors are making choices they may later regret. But major medical associations agree this kind of care can reduce feelings of depression among trans youth. Julie Burkhart runs a Casper clinic that provides this type of treatment. She says Wyoming youth will seek care despite the new law, but
it's going to put more obstacles in the way. It's going to potentially displace families where they feel like they have to move to where their child can get this adequate health care.
The U.S. Supreme Court has said it'll consider the legality of gender-affirming care bans starting this fall. For NPR News, I'm Hannah Mersbach in Jackson, Wyoming.
Stocks closed modestly higher today as the third quarter gets underway. The Dow was up 50 points. The Nasdaq rose 146 points. The S&P 500 gained 14 points. This is NPR. Hurricane Beryl is a powerful Category 4 storm with maximum sustained winds of 155 miles an hour, putting it on the brink of becoming a Category 5 hurricane. One of the islands of Grenada is said to have suffered damage when the storm made landfall there today. Other areas, including Jamaica, are now under a hurricane or tropical storm warning or watch. Beryl is moving west-northwest at around 21 miles an hour. Weather watchers say the hurricane could weaken slightly over the Caribbean Sea on a path that will take it south of Jamaica and later toward Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. A bipartisan congressional delegation visiting Kyiv promised the U.S. would support Ukraine no matter who wins November's presidential election. NPR's Polina Litvinova reports Ukraine's president told the delegation his country needs more air defense systems to protect its citizens and energy grid from Russian attacks.
Ukrainian officials have argued that using U.S. and other allies' weapons to strike at military targets in Russia could decrease the number of attacks. The White House has okayed such strikes in Russia from the northeast Kharkiv region. House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner told reporters in Kyiv that he agrees with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg that this permission should be expanded.
Stoltenberg has said that he believes that Ukraine should not be fighting with one arm tied behind its back, that it should be able to respond to attacks from Russia.
Turner also noted that Russia is producing more weapons than the West. Polina Litvinova, NPR News, Kyiv.
Oil closed higher at $83.38 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Imaginable Futures, celebrating the hard work, commitment, and achievements of the 1 in 5 college students who are parents. More at imaginablefutures.com. This is NPR.
There's a lot of talk about seeds these days and planting crops and that sort of thing that harken back to the old days. Heirloom seeds, they call them. David Bassey with you, and jazz with David Bassey. Music from Kenny Garrett, a song called Boogity Boogity, from Seeds from the Underground.
Thank you.
Coming up, trumpeter Clark Terry as a satellite. That's Nat Reeves on the bass, and drummer Ronald Bruner, Rudy Bird, the three of them setting down a mean groove, with pianist Benito Gonzalez, and Seeds from the Underground, the song Boogity Boogity, from alto saxophonist Kenny Garrett, solid Detroit music on Mac Avenue Jazz, and executive producer Gretchen Valade. Well, let's get into the music of Clark Terry. Clark Terry in an album called In Orbit, produced by Orrin Keepnews for his own Riverside Records in 1958, with Clark at the flugelhorn and Sam Jones, Philly Joe Jones, and Thelonious Monk as a rhythm section. In Orbit, indeed. The music of Thelonious Monk being pretty wild for 1958. And a song called Buck's Business.
¶¶